So last week we started in on an adventure to talk about that if you had a few minutes, which maybe you don't very often, to sit down and have a few quiet thoughts, what are those thoughts like? How do you think about yourself? If you're married, we might ask, how do you think about your spouse? How do you think about your kids? How do you think about, for our young people there, your parents? If you would get a few quiet moments to think, what is that self-talk like? What does it look like? What does it sound like? That was the challenge that we started with last week, just getting a few moments to examine that and think about that, because most of us work at such a high pace and go in such a busy schedule, we don't take time to slow down, to really think about some things, or to be, as what David wrote, be still and know that he is God. We're just never still enough to just consider and think about things in our life. So that's what we started last week, and the whole idea this week, and I've already heard some feedback throughout the week from some of you, was to capture your thoughts, was just to stop and go, okay, so what is that talk like? When I do have those down moments, how do I think about myself? How do I think about my spouse? What do I think about my kids? How do I think about my work? How do I think about those relationships? And this week was just a challenge that those things matter, that those things kind of reveal what's going on in our hearts, that what's going on in the inside is going to be revealed somewhere. And some of the times, it's just revealed in our thoughts and the way that we think about ourselves and the way that we think about each other. Sometimes it's just revealed that way. And that was the whole goal, was to go out and capture your thoughts. Now, I know several of you thought I was preaching exactly to you last week, and I told you, this series, this is completely selfish. It's really all about me, because I struggle with this, so I thought, you know, this would be therapeutic to talk about it and to look up scripture about it. And last week was the story of King Saul, who dealt with jealousy and fear. And if you've ever had those two things as part of your self-talk, those are very damaging things to let into your life, because, oh my goodness, they create all kinds of problems. They open up all kinds of different situations that you struggle with when jealousy and fear come in. And why are we doing this? Because Paul gives this challenge. He says, basically tells the Corinthians what he's been doing and what he has challenged the guys with him, guys like Luke, okay, Silas, to do. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's a big challenge. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's why I just wanted you to kind of capture them last week and go, boy, I shouldn't think about them this way. And maybe you went, oh gosh, that's really bad. And maybe it just, as what I was hoping to do, just to wake you up to what's going on in your thought life, to wake up to what's going on in your self-talk. You're constantly talking about yourself in a negative way. I guarantee you're not going to be very positive about a lot of things. If you only think about your spouse in negative ways, I'm just telling you, it's not going to be a very good marriage. You're going to struggle. Why am I struggling? Well, you think a lot of bad things about them, okay? What can we do about that? So it's all connected, and I wanted us to understand that. So this week is all about, how do I make it obedient to Christ? How do I make my thoughts obedient to Christ? Or what I'm going to say is, what should rule my thoughts? And maybe a better illustration is a filter, okay? I don't know anybody here who takes coffee grounds and sticks them in your cup, okay, adds your hot water and stirs them and goes, oh, well, if I drink some, it's okay. We filter that because we want what gets produced. We don't want to be swallowing grounds. That just sounds terrible and nasty, doesn't it? We don't want to do that, so we use a filter. So what if Scripture provides us a filter to which we could take our self-talk and we could take the things that we think about and we think about ourselves and we think about each other and we could filter it through so some of the things that we shouldn't think about would just be stopped. Hey, no, that's not helpful. No, that's not helping me. No, that's not making my life any better. No, that's not enhancing my relationships. No, that's not going to make my marriage better. And those things would just be stopped. And we would actually be challenged to think about another way. And then I remembered this verse. Maybe you've stumbled across it before if you've ever read through the Bible. And that is in the book of Philippians. Here's what Paul tells this church. as he is stuck in chains, okay, in a prison, this is what he writes them. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That perhaps, okay, and here's what I'm just going to ask us to think about today, that this is a great filter. This is a great filter you and I can put up to catch some things that are not helpful in our thought life to our relationships and to how we consider ourselves. And you would just allow these things to just be caught. Now, this is a pretty big list. Okay? It is. What I would ask you to do this morning is ask the Holy Spirit to help you fix on one of them. Okay? Just one of them that we're going to talk about. That if there was one area that where your thoughts go, and you're going to see these all talk about different areas, different actions of our lives, that if there's just one area you could just focus on and work on, because it seems to be the place that trips you up the most, that you would just ask God to help me do that. God, if you would just help me filter that one area, boy, it would make a difference. It'd make a huge difference in how I think about others. It'd make a huge difference in how I think about myself. It would make a huge difference. So I just want to walk you through this list. And now when we get to one, and the Holy Spirit would just be able to say, yeah, that's you. Not that the pastor's preaching at you, but you'd be able to say, oh, yeah, that's what I struggle with. That's where I get stumbled up. That's where I get tripped up when I think about things, when I think about myself. So here we go. Number one, what is true? Pursue truth, because lies never have a benefit. If you've ever told yourself, God must not love me, that is called a lie. That's not true. Scripture tells us that's not true. If you've ever thought to yourself, God really couldn't be for me, he really couldn't be on my side, or these things wouldn't have happened. If you think that God has left you, that God's abandoning you, okay, that is also not true, because we have promised over and over again in the scripture, I will never leave you or forsake you. So part of it is understanding, what am I telling myself that's true, and what am I telling myself that's false, that's a lie? Lies never help, okay? I don't care what show you watched, okay, that, oh yeah, they lied and all worked out. No, it never works that way, okay? It doesn't. They never benefit you. They never help you. They never leave you in a positive way. So whatever it is that you're not telling yourself the truth about, and if you need to understand how God thinks about you, you have to take Psalms 139. Because I keep wondering, maybe David struggled. Maybe David struggled with all that was going on in his life. And so he pens 139 where he says, God, you know me. You know when I sit down and when I walk, and he just goes through all the intimate ways that God knows us and yet loves us and cares for us and knows who we are and knows how we're made up. And I think so often we just tell ourselves lies, that God's not there, that God doesn't care, that God's abandoned us, that God's left, that these things are happening as, you know, predictive things that say, see, that proves that God is not there. It doesn't. And so I'm wondering this morning, if you struggle with believing lies that are hurting you instead of fixing your thoughts on what is true. This is where I encourage you to read your Bible. Whether you have the Bible app and you find just a few moments to read through a devotional, there's lots of them that help you. If you struggle with this, you can go to the events page on your Bible app. I put plans on there every week that offer opportunities for you to read through some different sections. Just search the Bible app. There are hundreds, thousands of devotionals in every area. So if you're struggling, open up your Bible. I tell you to go to a place like BibleGateway.com, okay, that has a great search engine. You can search any word you want to in the entire Bible. Any word you want to, just type it in, search it. Because if you're struggling, you need to know what's truth. You need to know what's right. You need to know what is honest, so that you can defeat the lies that are telling you you are something less, that God really doesn't love you, that he hasn't demonstrated that. Every time you see a cross, it should be clear to you that God loves you, that he cares about you, that he is on your side, because he has done everything to demonstrate that to you. Number two, what is honorable? What is honorable? Simply put, respectful of others and yourself. So if your thoughts have a lot to do with you being very negative on yourself, that isn't honorable. That's very disrespecting of yourself, is what it is. And isn't it true? We struggle sometimes with that. I don't know about you. I am my own worst critic. I am. None of you could say anything that's probably not as harsh as what I say to myself every Sunday after getting done preaching. Gosh darn it, that sucked. I need to do better. I need to change this. That really didn't work out well. I'm just telling you, that's the way I am. That's the way I've always been. It's not very positive at times, okay? So it's not very good. So I read this and go, ooh. Boy, I shouldn't have told myself I sucked. That was probably bad. That wasn't very respectful. If you've ever done that to yourself, okay? See, that I told you this is very therapeutic for me. If you've ever done that to yourself, I'm just telling you, you're in good company, and it's not respectful of yourself. That's not helpful. Did it ever help me? No. Did it ever help you? No. But for some reason, we go there at times, and we get very harsh and very critical of ourselves. And God says, wait a minute, part of the filter is what's honorable. And what honorable is what's respectful. And that which I give honor to. And sometimes in our thoughts, we get very disrespectful of ourselves. And we get very disrespectful of other people. We do. We get very dishonoring of other people. And very harsh and very critical of other people. And that begins to permeate. And that begins to just kind of turn around in our head. And that doesn't lead to anything positive. I just guarantee you, if you're going to be critical and negative about your spouse, that's not a formula anywhere for a good marriage, for a good relationship. It's not. Because you're going to constantly be thinking negative things about them. How do I filter that? And how do I say, you know what, that wasn't very honorable. That's not very honorable to me, the person that God created, and that's not very honorable to that person that I am thinking about. It's not very respectful to them of the person that God created them to be as well. Number three, what is right? Now, this is interesting. Sometimes you bump into words in Scripture and they don't give you the meaning you think you're going. So we would think when we hit right, wasn't that the same thing as true? What is true is what is right. And doesn't that all go together? But this is really different, and this is where the Bible written in Greek sometimes is very challenging. Because this word, it also means that God is right. Okay? Well, what does that mean? That God is righteous, he is holy, and it promotes this whole idea of being reconciled to God and being reconciled to others. So what does that mean? So in my thoughts putting me in a right relationship with God. They helping me understand that I have been saved by grace. Or are they critical and judgmental? Are they helping me understand that Jesus provided everything I needed to be put in a right relationship with God? And does it promote being right with others? Reconciliation in the Bible is God being reconciled to us, and that because of the cross and because we've been forgiven, we can be reconciled with each other. Now, how many times... Don't answer this out loud. How many times have you thought somebody was mad at you and they really weren't mad at you at all? And our thoughts duped us into thinking what? We don't have a right relationship. Okay, I think they're mad at me. I think they're mad at me and I don't think they want to talk to me and they're avoiding me in the hall. And yeah. And the reason I say that is because I'm telling you, a lot of this at times is very immature. It just is. It's very immature. It's not very mature in Christ. It's very immature, and I'm just telling you, you know what we revert back to? We revert back to middle school. We just do, okay? We think, oh, somebody didn't look at us the right way, and somebody didn't pick us with their team, and so they really don't like us, and our thoughts have a way of creating distance between us, okay? And it might be nothing. You ever had that happen? Oh, I think that person's mad at me. Guess what that person thinks? That person thinks, well, I know they're mad at me. And so we're both thinking the same thing, and neither one of us are mad at each other. Boy, we're in a mess, aren't we? Okay? We are thinking thoughts that are not reconciled thoughts. They're separating thoughts. They're thoughts about being on different teams and different places. And I'm telling you, we go there, and this is why Matthew 18 exists, so that we would fix what is broken. We would fix what is broken, and we would see that reconciled and brought back together. And you know how that happens? Well, according to Matthew 18, you actually have to talk to the person. You actually have to talk to the person, because our thoughts are going to fool us, and they're going, "Why? Oh, no, they're mad at me. I can't talk to them. They're probably so mad at me. They never want to talk to me." Have you ever approached them? "No, they really don't want to talk to me. I know. I just know they don't want to talk to me." Ever been there? Yeah. Our thoughts promote being separated instead of being reconciled. Where our thoughts should promote us being right with God, and what that means, and what it means because of Christ. It means that if we're having thoughts where we think we're better than somebody else because we've been in church more, no, why am I reconciled to God? Because of the cross. It helps me deal with my relationship with God, and it helps me deal with my relationship with each other. Where are my thoughts that we are not reconciled? That we are separated, that we have things apart. Then Matthew 18 says, why don't you go talk to him and fix everything instead of everybody just thinking everybody else is mad at him. What a noble idea. That we'd actually talk and figure that out so that we wouldn't be broken any longer, but that we would be restored. Fix your thoughts on things that are pure. In other words, refuse to give room for sin. Refuse to give room for sin in your thoughts. Now, there are several ways to do that. You can sin against yourself by the way you're thinking about yourself. You can sin against others in the way that you're thinking about them. You can just sin in things that you were thinking about committing and thinking about doing. There's lots of ways to do this. In fact, Genesis 6 says that part of what disgusted God before the flood was that man's only thoughts were evil all the time. Just let that sit in for a moment. All the time, he thought about doing something evil. All the time. It just permeated to where the thoughts were just evil constantly, and God was sick of it. He was tired of it. And I'm telling you, for us, if there's ever a point where sin has entered your thoughts, okay? So that means, guys, how do we think about women that we are not married to? How do we think about them? How do we think about them? Job says that he made a covenant with his eyes not to look at a woman lustfully. Jesus says we do, we commit what? Adultery in our hearts. That our thoughts can get us in trouble. The way that we think about someone else. The way that we dwell on somebody else. So where does that happen, men? Ladies, where is that happening? Oh, he'd be so much better than my husband, you know, because I saw him on the sitcom and he always cleaned the house and he did everything right. And someone wrote it in the script. It isn't real, right? Just let that sit in. Where does that happen? That is where we give room for sin in our thoughts. And that's dangerous. And if that's happening, that's dangerous and that's a warning sign. Whoa, stop, God would say. There is something going on in your thoughts that is very hurtful, that is very destructive. So pure. What is going on in our thoughts that is giving room for sin? And then we were thinking about. We were thinking about maybe disobeying something or breaking a law or doing something we're not supposed to do. That never just happens automatically. There's always a thought process in it where we think through, can I get away with this? Will anybody find out? And if you dwell on that and think about it long enough, you will find a place to go where you've convinced yourself you won't get caught. Where you've convinced yourself nobody will ever find out. And even if that is true, that nobody finds out in this life, God always knows. So don't give room for it. Where is it coming into your mind? Where is it coming into your thoughts? Give no room for sin. He says, whatever is lovely. And simply this means whatever is pleasing, agreeable, or attractive. Whatever is pleasing, agreeable, or attractive are things that we should think about. Things that are pleasing. Pleasing God, pleasing others would be a good place to start. Agreeable. Again, that whole idea, that whole concept of people being reconciled and brought together. We live in an age of incredible divisiveness, and it's so easy to do that. And that's why I think that Paul over and over again to people back to our foundation is we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That is your primary identity in Jesus. That you are the son of God. You are a daughter of God. That's your primary identity. Everything else falls after it. That's how we can be in right relationship. Because we probably won't agree on who to vote for, and we probably won't agree on what music to listen to, and we probably won't agree on a lot of other things. But that's not my primary identity. My primary identity is I am a child of the one true King, and so are you. And that brings us this incredible unity together. So whatever is pleasing, agreeable, and attractive in unity together is something we should fix our thoughts on. And then you get to the last one. And I think this is really interesting. What is admirable? This goes back to 1 Corinthians 13, if you've ever read that before, which basically tells us that we can choose two things when there's a gap in a relationship, and I've talked about this before. We can either choose trust or we can choose suspicion. Okay? We can do this. This is a thought thing, and this is this. So this, Paul, all he is doing is echoing back to 1 Corinthians 13 when he talks about this. That what do we do when there's a gap? Okay? So, simple thing. Your spouse says they're going to show up at a certain time, 15 minutes past that time. What goes into that gap? Is it trust? Oh, they're probably running late. Or it's suspicion? That's it. They've had an affair. They're out with somebody else. Okay? What do you put in that gap? And this happens all the time. People make promises to do things, to help, and they don't do it. What normally goes in your gap? Now, we're honest. Most of the time, suspicion goes in that gap. We are suspicious of people. We are suspicious of their motives. No, oh no, they really didn't forget. They just really did it on purpose, okay? They just did it because they really don't like me, and they just did it on purpose. And we put suspicion in that gap. Because this happens all the time. From what people promise to what people do, a lot of times there's space. What do you put in that space? And where do your thoughts go in that space? Most of us just go to suspicion because that's the world that we live in. Goes there all the time. All the time. Why do you think it is so easy to get rumors started about everything that are at times so ridiculous that you're like, really, people? If you could think about that a little bit, you would just know that's not true. Because we're very good at filling that gap with suspicion instead of trust. But here it says, as you're filtering your thoughts, what would it look like if you refuse to give room for suspicion? That someone's got an ulterior motive, that somebody's out to get you, like leave all of that. But in that gap, we put trust. Now, this doesn't mean there's people who break trust, and separate issue for a moment, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But people who we trust, what would it look like if that gap started being filled with that? Instead of us constantly in our mind going to suspicion. Going to suspicion. You know what I think one of the problems is? We watch way too many crime dramas, okay, that aren't true, or we think, oh, that could happen to me. I'm serious, okay? I know everybody's kind of chuckling. Come on, it's true, okay? Right? We're all forensic experts, and we're all looking for the hair in the car that belongs to someone else. We're ridiculous, okay? We just need to be honest about that. We're ridiculous. There's going to be gaps, and especially married folks, lean in for a moment. What you put in that gap is vital to the success of your marriage. And if suspicion is going in that gap, there's something that needs to be addressed. Because anything other than trust, and it is trouble. And that means get help. Because you want to be able to put trust in that gap. And you want your thoughts to be able to go to ways where you are trusting one another, not suspicious of one another. And basically ends up by just wrapping up everything and says, you know what? Our thoughts should be excellent and praiseworthy. They should cast things in the best light, and they should be things that we are celebrating. If that's what's going on in our thought life. So here's my question this morning. Is this how you think of others and yourself? Or would you like me this morning wave your hand and go, I got some work to do? Because there's some things that aren't right that are going around in this head that God really needs me to address. Why? Because it reveals something. Sometimes it's revealing the heart. It's revealing something that's broken in a relationship. It's revealing something. Okay? There's a reason you're having the thoughts you're having. It's revealing something. It's revealing something maybe about the way you think about yourself, because perhaps you grew up in an environment where you were given no self-worth. You don't know where that comes from. And what would be more better than anything else today is you'd understand that comes from God. And you would totally change the way you think about yourself. And you would open Psalms 139, and you would understand David isn't just writing about him, that God looks at David and says, oh, David, you're awesome, you're amazing, I've known you since birth, that he really is speaking to all of us. I have known you since then, I put you together, I formed you, I am putting everything and working everything for good in your life. Boy, what a promise. That probably totally, radically changed the way that you think about yourself. All that we're doing is revealing something. They're revealing something about the way you think about yourself. They're revealing something about some relationships. And maybe you have some broken ones that God would love to put back together. And perhaps you just think the person's mad at you and they think you're mad at them. And really nobody's mad at anybody. Okay? Perhaps there was just a misunderstanding that could be cleared up in about 2 seconds. Not done through texting. Just thought I would throw that out there. Okay? Okay, don't try to do that. It's not going to work. Okay, that gets cleared up face to face in a conversation where things can get restored and put back together. Because that honors God when we're reconciled. It honors God when we're put back together. So, trying to think, how can I wrap this up this morning? I'm just going to put it this way: either we let Christ rule your self-talk, or let yourself talk rule you. And it's really the bottom line here this morning. It either is going to rule you, and the jealousy and the fear and all the other things that get thrown in that Paul just alludes to in this. That, hey, we think about ourselves in awful ways. We think about ways that just dishonor ourselves and disrespect others. We just think about things, and we just give all this room for sin in our life, in our thoughts. We got to do something about that. And either we let Christ step in and rule in that and help us filter that. And I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed at the way you see yourself, at the way you see others. It's going to change and revolutionize everything if we would just let Christ rule that area of our life where normally we have just kept him out. Because those are our thoughts. That's our self-talk. That's the way we think about ourselves and we think about each other. So I'd like for us this morning just to pray together. And as we do, there's probably an area that just jumped out to you. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. I told you, I've been working on this for months, so I've gone through all of this, evaluating, going, oh my goodness, this is terrible. I should think about these things. I should, think about ways like this. I should think about myself in this light. Okay? It's a reality. The other thing this morning is don't let our enemy just guilt you into thinking, oh, I'm a terrible Christian. I'm supposed to be serving God. Think about all these terrible things. Come on, it happens. Okay? The point is the Holy Spirit brings it up so that we can deal with it and move forward in our walk with him. I just don't think most of us even think this has any impact on the way we live. I think for most of us, we don't understand this has impact on our marriage and has impact on our relationship and it's impact the way that we think ourselves. I just don't think we ever slow down enough to think that the way I think about myself and the way I think about others has an impact on what's going on in those relationships. So I want to pray for us this morning. The youth are going to come and lead us in one more song. And we're just going to ask God to rule in our self-talk. So let's pray this morning.